Jai Ma. First of all, it's very happy to see people from all over the world come and join together in the spirit of yoga. If ever, I am using the word if ever because of the present situation, if ever the world has to unite, I'm sure it will, it has to be on the basis of yoga. We have tried several means, we have tried rational methods, political means, we have tried various systems, organizations, we have tried religions, ideologies. They fail to unite because they fail to touch the common core. They hint at it, but they lose it in trying to define it. So what is this common core? The common core, the premise from which yoga begins, is that there is in all of us the source, the origin, the divine presence. In each element of creation, there is this divine presence. It's very logical. If there is an origin, it must be present in everything. But in human beings, or human beings are given the privilege of discovering it through conscious means. That's what yoga is about. And the beauty is, the more we come closer to this divine presence within, the more we discover it, more the scales of ignorance that conceal our true identity and define it in a limited way through our nationality, through our vocation, through the money that we have, through qualifications, outer qualifications, degrees, language and ideologies and religions, all that fall away. Because we discover the same divine presence in everyone and everything. It is the same divine presence. There is no other. Wearing one mask in one person, wearing another mask in another person, it's a very gratifying discovery. It gives peace to start with. We are not strangers anymore to anyone and anywhere, because wherever we may go, we find our home. And it also opens doors to numerous possibilities. Because when we look at this divine presence within us, which is omnipotent, omniscience, all love, all beauty, all bliss, all peace, all sweetness, all strength. And then when we look at life outside, we see so many limitations. It's almost a contradiction to what we are within, what we aspire to be, and what we are actually in our surface nature. But that's precisely where yoga steps in, because if we take the maxim of material science, well, we are what we are, and we are what nature has made us. And that's all. We have to make the most of what we are today. But the divine presence within has the power to change us in the light of. So, there is a contradiction between what we are within and what we are outside. And yoga is a means to bridge this gap. So, all the beautiful dreams we aspire for, we hope for, perfect love, perfect understanding, unmixed truth, pure bliss, peace that surpasses all understanding, peace in the storm and in the battlefield. All these dreams would remain dreams but for the yoga, because yoga brings us in contact with the divine presence, which is the source of all these dreams, aspirations, hopes. And when we come in contact with this divine presence, and as we begin to govern our life and activities, we allow the divine to govern them, we hand over ourselves to the divine rather than to the ego self, the limited self, rather than to this or that method, ideology, ways of thought, If we hand over ourselves to the divine, become plastic to his touch, then slowly the divine artist begins to mold us and mold us in his image. This is the beauty. Man is meant to grow in the image of the divine. There is a very beautiful phrase in one of the Upanishad. Sa Purusha Evascha, that Purusha there and this Purusha here, they are one. He am I, soham asmi, tattvamasi, that thou art. So this constant reminder that I am not this surface ego personality which changes, not this mutable becoming, this flux of thoughts and feelings to which we hold, which come and pass away like waves upon the sea. But I am this unchanging divine presence within. To stay focused with that, to concentrate on that, to live that regardless of all appearances, to turn back to that with faith and aspiration, then slowly we come in contact with this inner presence in various ways. And then this presence begins to mold our life. What about the practices of yoga? As in the beginning, I think Swamiji said very beautifully that practice is one part. It's important. Different. There are different practices in different traditions. But what is happening behind the practice? That's very important. A blacksmith also uses his muscles all the time. And a weightlifter also uses the muscles. But the difference is that one's consciousness is in a certain work in which one is engaged. Probably one is thinking, it's a drudgery and I have to do it. And in the other one, there is a conscious building of the muscles. And there could be a third one, and it should be, that where one is doing all these exercises with the idea that my body may become fit as an instrument, a vehicle, a vessel of the divine. So the practice is one part, but of equal importance, in fact at one level more importance, is the thoughts, feelings, will, conscious will, the motive, and all these things that are behind the practice. So practice is like, you know, keeping a car fit, keeping the engine running, keeping it clean, etc. But what is behind is, who is going to drive this car? So that also must be fit, meaning thereby mental health, mental well-being, psychological inner state, all these are an important ingredients for success in yoga. And then behind these two, there is yet a third layer. Behind the outer practice, behind the inner world of thoughts, feelings, aspirations, hopes, dreams, wishes, motives, there is something known as the core seeking, the aspiration of the soul. It is why one is doing whatever one is doing. So we are drawn from so many nations, so many different, you know, cutting across barriers of language, nationality and various belief systems. So what has drawn us here? Why we are drawn here? What for have we come together? Why do I seek yoga? What do I seek through the yoga? What is it that I am looking for through my practice? And that's what we need to remember, that the results will be limited by this core aspiration. Because the core aspiration is, let's say, union with the divine, then the practices, the same practices, they will ultimately be corrected by the divine guide within, like when a person is driving the car, but the owner is sitting behind and the owner tells him that, look here, this is not the right route, you please take this other route. So similarly, if we undertake the journey of yoga to unite with the divine, to discover the divine, then very spontaneously, automatically, an inner correcting mechanism begins and we are led more and more towards that great goal. We find the right master, we find the right book, we come across the right saying, Because the inner guide, the inner leader, the inner master begins to take over our journey, charge of our journey. But if the goal of yoga is to boost my ego, to boost my ambition, to even believe that I am going to become a big spiritual person, a big yogi, a superman, a person who can do miracles, then it will limit my realization of the yoga, and the same practices can even lead me towards ruin and disaster, because nothing ruins more than the ego and nothing uplifts more than humility. So yoga has to be approached in a spirit of humility. The doors of knowledge are shut to the arrogant human mind which believes that I know. But to one who approaches with faith in the divine, but with a very clear, conscious thought that I do not know. And even if I were to know everything that is possible on heaven and earth, still it will be nothing compared to the infinite. The ocean of knowledge is infinite. It cannot be scanned by, mapped or fathomed by any one or all the human minds and the mind of the gods combined together. So when we have that humility, the doors of knowledge open. When we have this need within us of this true knowledge, when we have this need within us of this true love, this love that one finds nowhere, this thirst that cannot be quenched in any human relationship, however beautiful and sweet it may be. Not that we have to leave anything, but we have to realize the limitations. And then we have to go beyond the limited to the limitless. So yoga is a journey of the limited to the limitless, of the finite to the infinite, of the transient to the eternal. But this can mean two things. Either a dissolution of the finite elements of a body, of mind, of heart and life in the infinite, never to return. This has been the traditional meaning of yoga, moksha, nirvana, etc. But this union of the finite elements of our nature, the limited parts of a being, with the limitless, the infinite, need not be an annulment. It can also lead to fulfillment. The finite invaded by the infinite. Never-ending streams of knowledge descending from the tops and fulfilling us constantly, like the rivers in India, Ganga, Yamuna, Brahmaputra, and all of them streaming down the mountains in a never-ending cascade. Similarly, when the doors of the heart open to the inner love, one is fulfilled in love. The finite heart is fulfilled by the love of the eternal. Then one does not need any love from outside. One does not suffer anymore for want of love. One is no more hurt and deceived by appearances. One becomes a radiant flame of love which gives its flame, its love to everyone and everyone. One becomes a chalice of love, and that chalice is never ending because it's constantly the wine of divine love and bliss is pouring into it. Similarly, whether we take power, whether we take any other aspect, beatitude, sweetness, all this, our body, veins, nerves, heartbeats, all can throb, become instrument and vessels of this infinite and the eternal, which is above, below, behind, in front, all around us. So essentially, there are two aims of yoga. One is discovering the divine, the infinite, the eternal, and annulling oneself in that. The other is discovering the divine, the infinite, the eternal, and fulfilling oneself through that. And in Shubhendu's yoga, that is the goal that he puts before us. But it also means a much greater responsibility, in the sense, because annulling in the infinite is simple enough. Find a door in the heart, in the head, or any of the seven centers or the 12 centers, and pierce through that and discover the divine. But if fulfillment is the goal, then one has to prepare the mind, heart, body, life force to receive and radiate the divine influence. How to do it? Human effort fails here. But the key is with the Divine Mother. The secret of this yoga lies with the Divine Mother. To turn to the Mother in an aspiration for transformation of earthly life. Not only because I will be transformed, because that will be egoistic, or one will become a superman or anything like that, but because earthly life needs it. It suffers and labors. It struggles. But if we turn to the Divine Mother and give ourselves to her, our physical activities, our bodily exercises, our practices, our methods, our thoughts, our structures and systems of knowledge, all the intuitions and revelations that come to us, the love in the heart, the life force, when we offer all this to her, then she takes it and gives it back to us, not only multiplied infinite fold, but transformed in its character. This is the transaction of yoga, human giving itself to the divine, and the divine returning it, fulfilling himself in and through the human. With these words, I wish all the very best, my prayers for the Divine Mother's grace. I think I was hearing some lines from Savitri in the background, so a while ago, so let me also close with some lines of Savitri. These lines are, of course, the lines that were coming were something else, and I have the temptation to recite those lines, but let me just recite the lines from Adoration of the Divine Mother, invoking her presence in our midst. The formless and the form were joined in her. Immensity was exceeded by a look. A face revealed the crowded infinite. Suffering was lost in her immortal smile. A burning love from white spiritual founds annulled the sorrow of the ignorant depths. Suffering was lost in her immortal smile. A life from beyond grew conqueror here of death. At the head she stands of birth and toil and fate. In their slow rounds the cycles turn to her call. Alone her hands can change time's dragon base. Hers is the mystery the night conceals. The spirit's alchemist energy is hers. She is the golden bridge, the wonderful fire. The luminous heart of the unknown is she. She is the force, a power of silence in the depths of God. She is the force, the inevitable word, the magnet of a difficult ascent, the sun from which we kindle all our suns, the light that leans from the unrealized vast, the joy that beckons from the impossible, the might of all that never yet came down. All nature dumbly calls to her alone to heal with her feet the aching throb of life and break the seals on the dim soul of man and kindle her fire in the closed heart of things. All here shall be one day her sweetness's home. All contraries prepare her harmony. Towards her our knowledge climbs, our passion gropes. In her miraculous rapture we shall dwell. Her clasp shall turn to ecstasy, our pain. Our self shall be oneself with all through her. Jai Maa.